This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. We're going to talk about what's happening in the sexual health space. And to talk to us about that, we've got our very own Chief Executive Officer of Thorn Harbour Health, Simon Ruth. Good morning to you, Simon.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Now, Simon, I've heard some whispers in the community that there has been an unprecedented increase in some STI rates. Are you able to confirm or deny some of that or shed some more light on what's going on?
If we look over 10 years, it's not even whispers. You know, I can give you the reports that demonstrate it. So gonorrhea has gone up by 1,000% in Victoria.
What, 1,000%?
My God.
1,000% over a decade, yeah.
What's that? What does that mean in terms of numbers? I mean, we're talking about from 10 to a couple hundred?
Something like 1,000 cases a year to around 10,000 cases a year.
Wow,
something like that. And that's people who have been tested and treated. Syphilis has gone up by 300%. We do have a syphilis epidemic right across the top end of Australia, from Broome across to Cairns and now down to Adelaide. All of South Australia has been declared part of the syphilis epidemic. Mildura, the state health department has released some reports suggesting Mildura might be caught up in that now as well. And we know chlamydia, we have huge issues with chlamydia, and chlamydia is particularly difficult because the problems that it can give straight women of childbearing age.
And it's often asymptomatic, Simon.
Yeah, so chlamydia for gay men isn't as big an issue, but if you're thinking of parenting, yes, it's a significant issue. So all three of those STIs right across the country are out of control. They're out of control amongst gay men. They're out of control amongst the heterosexual community.
What about HIV?
Look, HIV, you know, we're one of the few countries in the world where we're doing well with HIV. You know, there are some smaller Pacific islands that really have no HIV and never have had. But in Australia, you know, we are a leading light along with the Netherlands and England, not the UK, but England, and some other parts of the world, we're doing incredibly well. We're probably seeing rates plateau right now. So we were seeing an increase in HIV over the last 10 years, again, right across Australia, but PrEP and PEP and undetectable viral load have probably stopped that. And hopefully over the next year or two, as we get more and more people onto those, we will start to see a significant decline in those numbers.
So, Simon, it's Macca. I'm just wondering, do we have any sort of a handle? Obviously, this is based on the results of tests people have taken. Do we have any sort of a handle on the number of tests that are being done as a, you know, as a percentage of the population, say? I mean, if testing hasn't increased substantially, then, you know, the problem is even bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, so probably a biggest issue is testing capacity.
Yep.
Melbourne has one sexual health centre. New South Wales has 37 of them right across the state. So that means if you can't get into our one sexual health centre, and they put out a statement this week saying unless you're symptomatic, you can no longer just walk in. So for 40 years, they've had the same policy that anyone can walk in the door and get tested. That changed in the last week because they're so overloaded with people trying to get tested. So their biggest issue is that it's just too difficult to get a test in Victoria right now. And we have some populations, men on PrEP are testing four times a year, which is fantastic, and they do have slightly higher STI rates, even though they have virtually no HIV concerns at all. So that's a good thing for that group, but that group is applying a lot of pressure on the half a dozen clinics that our community uses. So if you're thinking Melbourne Sexual Health, Pronto, Centre Clinic, Northside and Param Market, they're all incredibly busy right now, just managing all the extra workload that PrEP has put onto them.
So is the, you know, this says to me, you know, it's a capacity issue, as, you know, before you even talk about whether or not people do test or whether they should be testing. So I assume you're having some discussions or you're opening discussions with the government and the Department of Human Services to increase the availability of testing?
Yeah, so we've been campaigning on this for probably 5 or 6 years now. Each year we release a statement of what we think the government should be doing, and we have had in there opening up another sexual health centre for many years. Melbourne Sexual Health has been campaigning for longer, but they are an arm of government, so it's difficult for them to do so publicly. And in the last 12 months, the government agreed to review what was going on, and they've now released a review paper where they've acknowledged that, yes, there is a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on the system. There's also issues around people who can't get access to Medicare and the cost. And if you know, STIs are infectious, so even if there's some small part of the population that has higher rates, that tends to spread out as well. And what governments, the key issue with this is that it's one of those areas that falls between the federal and the state government. So ideally, you would have GPs doing the work. The federal government would be paying for it. The state government doesn't have a role in training GPs. That's a PHN and a federal issue. The state government doesn't really want to have to pay for this. They think the federal government should be doing it, and the federal government's interest is in chronic disease and mental health, and so they're not paying a lot of attention to it. So it's one of those issues that tends to be thrown forwards and backwards between the two governments, and it's not alone. Methadone's another one, drug and alcohol services are another one. There's a whole range of issues like that that our health system doesn't really work for. So the report has set a hub-and-spoke model, and that's what they believe, that there should be centres of excellence that then support GPs to do the work. But one of the key issues is we just don't have GPs who want to do the work. And my service gets a lot of the complaints that people ring up and complain, and we've had GPs in Gippsland refer a young man to his church when he went in for a sexual health consult.
Jeez.
We've had a pathology service over in Bendigo yell across the waiting room, "We don't do anal swabs here, you have to go to the city for that," to another young man in front of, you know, everyone else in the waiting room. We knew at one point in northern Victoria there was actually nowhere you could get an STI screen because none of the GPs were prepared to do the work. So it's not easy. And all of our big clinics are pretty much all with, you know, a couple of Ks within Punt Road. So you start at the Centre Clinic at the bottom and you go up to Northside and Melbourne Sexual Health at the top, and they're pretty much all within 10 Ks of each other. And that's where probably 80% of the capacity of Victoria sits within those clinics. So it's just not enough.
So you're giving us some very disturbing news this morning, Simon. Mm. You're telling us, first of all, that there's been a massive increase over the last 10 years in STI rates and access to non-judgmental and free and accessible screening is just not simply adequate here in Victoria. Is that an accurate summary?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I wanted to ask you one other question, if I may. There's been a fair bit of chatter around that since the advent of PrEP and PEP, that people have forgotten about safe sex, and that might be a contributing factor towards some of this increase in STI rates. Can you shed any light on that assertion?
So we would say that PrEP and PEP are protected sex. You know, we know that undetectable viral load is the safest
point.
Possible. It's the safest way of having sex with someone who's undetectable. They've got no chance of transmitting HIV, if we're talking about HIV, and safe sex tends to talk about HIV. Then PrEP is the next most successful, then condoms comes a fairly distant third. We do see slightly higher rates of STIs amongst PrEP users, but we're also seeing these rates right across the heterosexual community as well, who are not users of any of these measures. So it's a, you know, there's a problem that condoms don't really stop bacterial STIs. Yeah. They provide some protection, but there's research now coming out of Melbourne Sexual Health suggesting that oral sex and passionate kissing is also spreading gonorrhea and syphilis. Because you can carry those in your throat.
Of course.
So it's just condoms provide very limited protection. And the real thing to do is to test and treat. We know people testing more often and getting treated, and we just don't have the services there to provide that to the community.
Wow.
It is, you know, Simon, it's disturbing because you know, the advances that we've made in HIV and the prevention and with PrEP and all of that, that what we're actually seeing, you know, is an explosion of STIs that, you know, people aren't perhaps considering or don't understand, you know, that there are, you know, they understand the HIV risk, albeit, you know, substantially reduced and very different to what it's been in past years, but they're not thinking about the STI risk. And if they do want to test, well, there's not always the capacity for them to do that. It's a perfect storm, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, most STIs can be treated. You know, there's overseas, there's some antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea, which is a bit of a concern if it ever hits this country. But the upside is you can treat STIs. You know, you'd rather get one of these STIs and get HIV any day.
Of course.
But we do need to develop strategies to manage these. And something like syphilis, you know, we do have babies dying. Babies being born with congenital syphilis and dying, and that's happening right now in the top end of Australia. And if we don't manage this, it will start happening here as well.
So, Simon, just before we finish up, as the boss of our own community's health service, so to speak, what's your advice to our listeners this morning who might be concerned that they might be at risk for or have an STI?
Get tested. So we would suggest that anyone who feels that or have a higher risk should be testing between 2 and 4 times a year, and just try and make that part of your standard health check. There are a number of, you know, good clinics around Melbourne who aren't focused on our community, but, you know, they're out there and I'll be going to them. The other thing that's being talked about is also Listerine. There's some research being done at Melbourne Sexual Health, and the traditional type of Listerine, if you gargle it for a minute, is showing that it protects against some of these bacterial STIs. So if you've been having oral sex or you've been making out with, you know, people, you may want to, at the end of each day and the start of each day, gargle with Listerine. And that is showing a decrease of something like 60%. Across gonorrhea and syphilis.
I had no idea. There you go. The old Listerine over the jar, over the counter.
Yeah. So that's groundbreaking research out of Melbourne Sexual Health.
That's interesting. Sorry, Tass is beside himself.
Oh, I had no idea about the Listerine. I think that's fantastic. Simon, thank you very much for your time this morning. We are out of time.
Good oral health means many things, Tass.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
We are out of time. Simon, thank you very much for your time this morning. I think they're great messages. Anybody out there who might be concerned about their sexual health or may feel that they are at risk for getting an STI, go and see your doctor and organise to get a test. In the meantime, gargle with Listerine twice a day.
There you go, regularly. Thanks, yep. Simon.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
You are on Saturday Gargle Zine with Tass and Macca. It actually, it does make a lot of sense that, you know, about Listerine, Tass.
I didn't know about that.
Because, you know, it kills... You know, the reason for mouthwash, a lot of people think it's for breath, but it's actually about good oral health. And anyone that spent a lot of money at the dentist knows that whilst dentists will tell you, you know, mouthwashes and there are particular different brands that are better than others, whilst they don't prevent a lot of issues in the mouth, they will reduce their onset. So it actually makes a lot of sense in terms of other issues too, Tass.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's news to me and certainly something that's worth exploring a whole lot further.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.